Remember, remember the 5th of... Was it 5th of vodka? 5th of vodka. 5th of November. It's GRD's Weekly.
Of course it is.
That was the fakest forget ever.
I know.
Yes, because I don't forget things ever on the show.
Yeah. But the thing is, you practiced that so many times and rehearsed it so hard.
Oh, yes, I did.
So
that was the 50th take we did of that.
One would have thought it would have been a little bit... So hi, and welcome. It's GRD's Weekly episode number...
138.
That's right. Not the 139 I thought it was when I first started writing my notes.
Yeah, I know, right. Because I sent the 139 as far as, hey, episode 139.
You 138. Did. So it is your fault.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
I'll go
We're those fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, now virus-free.
Ooh. Yeah.
And we'd like to thank you so much for stopping by. We'd like to get together every now and again, weekly, as they say.
It's been awfully damn weekly lately.
It certainly has been putting the week in... Well, that
we're emphasizing the weak part of the sweet.
Apparently so. So the people bringing it to you, the lady that gets worked too goddamned hard, that there's the Flintstress.
I'm still a woman. They haven't taken that away from me, not yet anyway.
Oh, damn.
And that's the Bruce.
I must be cruel only to be kind, as the poet said.
Oh, really? Is that how you justify it? Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
Well, but it's a long story. So we like to get together now and again and discuss things, and if you can't figure that out, well, you soon will, because... You know, the pub crawl's coming.
Yeah. Pub crawl, that's what you need to remember.
Exactly.
5th of November.
We'll get to there. So what you been doing, Sweekly? Yo, no, that's
Geeky?
Not right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yay. All right, well, as usual, it's mostly television. We love television and in all its incarnations, and so I'll run through my list of television. Started with some of our favorites. It's sort of Halloween episodes, Community.
Okay.
That were sort of telling ghostish stories, and one of them was crazy, and, you know, it was a good episode. It wasn't... I hope they have still something else Halloween-y up their sleeves. Because it was kind of like a pre-party for a Halloween party. In the past 2 years, they have gone hardcore for Halloween. So I don't know if this was their only Halloween episode, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
Really? I don't know.
You don't think so? You liked it?
I don't want them to keep having to outdo the insanity of... Just like as much as I love paintball, I don't think we can handle another paintball.
Right.
Anytime soon.
Anytime soon.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, I guess last year was just so huge and epic.
It was
and then
crazy huge.
They did sort of reference it.
They did.
You know, like if they had gone to the party. So I don't know. I mean, I still love Community. Don't get me wrong. This
love
wasn't
this
my
show.
Favorite episode.
Great show.
I got to watch it. I'll watch it soon or later.
Parks and Recreation, Andy and what is her name? April. Had a Halloween party at their house, and
they
that was kind of crazy. You know, fun. Happiness ensues.
And so,
720 Entertainment is no more.
720 Entertainment is no more, which is kind of sad.
Force them out for my homies.
So what was Mr. Rob Lowe's outfit?
He was Sherlock Holmes.
He was Sherlock Holmes because he's the greatest character ever.
That was pretty fun.
Okay. Okay.
And so he was going around detecting all night.
Ah.
Figuring out who everybody was.
Oh, okay.
That too. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And The Office had their Halloween party as well. Sort of, kind of. Creepiness. Yeah.
Yeah. A little strange. James Spader's fitting in nicely there, I think.
He is. Yeah, I think that it's working out well. And Andy as kind of the boss is good, you know. Poor Aaron.
But James Spader gets to go into, you know how sometimes he can go into just that very odd, menacing kind of guy thing? He got to do that in this, which was
He finds out what scares every single individual in the office and then tells the ultimate ghost story.
That incorporates all of
every single one of their fear. From snakes to mummies to
turning to each person as he like gets to that part. You know, so he tells the story while looking around to everybody getting to their part. Oh yeah,
and everybody's individually like, whoa, totally freaking out.
He was loving that.
Mind a frack to
and
the
he
extreme.
Just loved that he did that, so yeah.
Yeah. So on The Big Bang Theory, they start out the episode with a big prank on Sheldon. Did you see this one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and that was a pretty good one.
It was good. It was. Yep. Nope. Yep. We got winner on this.
Passed out and peed his pants, so that was great. But I have
awesome.
To say, he had the ultimate, you know, invested time revenge prank. You know, how long must he been under there? I don't know.
Took him a while, but that worked.
That was a great one at the end.
Surprise, surprise. Priya cheated on Leonard.
Yeah, Leonard, on behalf of all men everywhere.
Break up with Priya.
When you think your girl's cheating, you go ahead and cheat with that girl, and then you take care of business, because you know what's already happened.
You have the talk with her ahead of time, and then you go with a new girl.
A beautiful woman that's into the same things you are, as geeky as you
are. And lives in your same town.
Lives in the same town and wants to do you.
that he met
that
in,
he,
a comic
in a
book
comic
store.
Book store. He gets the award for that.
Who writes her own comics. I mean, she is pretty. There's got to be something wrong with her. Nobody's that perfect.
I'm impressed not only she was a woman in a comic book shop, but actually looking for an issue of Next Men. Because, yeah, thank you. Thank you for going.
She wasn't looking for just a standard every
day. Yeah, she was looking for Dazzler or something.
Do you have Dazzler? One damn day, I'm going to write the gritty reboot for Dazzler.
I think you should.
Yeah,
I think you should. I don't think it's going to be disco. I don't think she's going to be on rollerblades. Well, maybe rollerblades. Not roller skates, though.
Maybe quad skates.
She was on quads at one point.
Was she?
No, absolutely. Because you can dance better on this. Trust me.
You can. We also watched The Walking Dead.
Oh my God.
How good is this show?
You start off the episode with, hey, he's shaving his head. Okay, cool.
Well, we saw him with the shaved head at Dragon Con, so we knew that that was coming.
Yeah.
It's like,
And you know, people usually lose all their hair for kind of big dramatic things. It's not just, because it's not like he always had a buzz cut and then finally came across some clippers and was like, yes, I can remedy the situation. No, I had a feeling something traumatic happened along the way.
Yeah, that was.
I did not necessarily see that coming.
I definitely did not see that coming because I've read the comic. So
you weren't expecting that
right,
one.
Well, Shane is already dead in the comics at this point, right?
Otis does not die here in the comics is all I will
say. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Walking Dead, you lose your geek card if you haven't seen it by now. But like,
yeah, exactly.
Wow. But you think about it, right? On the one hand, that's heinous. They, you know, Rick certainly would have never done that. They would have found a way to get out of it
exactly.
together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but on the other hand, if you think about it,
There would have been a better plan going into it. Like, hey, great, we've got a plan to get into the shed.
Right, what's
how
our
the
plan
heck
to get,
to
back
get out?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean,
and we're gonna have a fat man jump off bleachers and think he's gonna land like a cat. Not a good idea.
Yeah. So the whole thing, you know, or if he was gonna be devious and if he was gonna screw him over, he should have said, "Hey, I've got an idea." While he still trusts him, right? Hand me your backpack, then shoot him. I mean, if you're gonna be evil, you might as well at least be calculating and evil and not shoot him and then try to wrestle the pack away and then, you know, kill even more.
I'm not entirely sure he remembered that he needed that pack because I was wondering the same thing. Why would you do that? Why would he be like,
why don't you take the pack first and then shoot him?
I got an idea. Give me
a pack. I think it was probably just a last minute, oh crap, we're both going to go if we don't do this now.
No, you see him pause for a moment and go, all right, this is the only way.
This is the kind of stuff, though, I've been really waiting for the show to get to, is the kind of decisions that people make in this.
Right.
Because that's a huge thing in the comic is people's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the only, you know, it's the only real thing that you have left is how you handle the situation.
However, I'm saying this now. It might have been nice if there was a third person involved in that so you would have had a little bit of a cover-up thing going on.
Tension,
because
right.
Shane having this by himself means he could become just a cardboard, I'm going insane guy.
Well, it is going to eat away at him.
I don't know.
He's very complicated.
True. I'm just a little nervous with Frank Darabont being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're using the guideline that he was establishing, they're doing it themselves. So I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm just saying let's be cautious here. Let's be careful. That's all.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And then, you know, they're going to leave soon because you sort of see in the scenes from the next that the farm guys are basically like, all right, we helped you out. Now you're all good. Move
Time
along.
To go.
Yep. Oh, by the way, can I say, Lori, shut the hell up.
Yeah, I hate her. I said that last time. God, I cannot stand her.
She really bugged me in this episode. She really, really bugged me. Whiny for no good reason. Just, there's other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's I don't know. This
they haven't resolved the dynamic, the problem, the fundamental issue in their relationship that existed before the catastrophe.
Yeah.
I think that everything that happened in the relationship beforehand pretty much just went, that was kind of nothing. Let's just save our lives. And I think that's how they're putting it until they can get to a point where they can be a little bit more stable. Because right now, they're just trying to survive. So relationship issues.
But every now and then, she remembers that she was kind of mad, that she sort of doesn't like him.
Yeah.
You know, no, every now and then it surfaces and she's like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, and he's being very demonstrative and not yelling at her and all this other kind of stuff. But like, I don't know. Eventually, you're right. They're going to hit the end of this ultimate high tense survival mode and sort of settle down. And then she's going to be like, oh yeah, that's right. I don't want to be with you anymore.
Then it's time.
Oh, I remember why we were fighting in the first place.
You're a schmuck.
So, Well, he's not a schmuck. She's a schmuck.
Well, that's what, you know.
Either way.
Either way. And we also watched Glee. It's finally back after baseball has been over. And,
damn it, baseball.
You know, so they have that girl group that they're kind of stealing members away from Glee and Santana and Brittany. Brittany is... like one of the best. I love everything that Brittany does. She is just so funny, and she sells all of those lines. She has the best comedic timing.
She is one of the best characters on television right now because she's stupid. She knows it, and she's not playing it as being stupid. Yeah. She's just, okay, I'm not bright. I'm going with this.
And the leprechaun guy or whatever, wasn't he one of the winners from the Glee project, I think? Like, they ended up letting multiple characters from that reality show where they were trying to pick a new person to be on Glee. Yeah. So three or four of them ended up being able to get something on Glee. And he is such a talented singer. God, when he starts singing, it was just kind of like, wow, he's really something.
It's not easy being green. I thought it was like, okay, that's a little cheesy. It was a great rendition.
It was a great arrangement.
Great arrangement. Great rendition.
He did pretty well, but it was just like,
oh, wow. Did you just do that?
Well, okay. But he was doing his leprechaun thing, which once I found out why he was doing it, I forgave the hat. Because I'm like, really? No, you wouldn't. Oh, okay.
Okay, right. He's trying to get the honey pot of gold.
The pot of gold.
No one called it a honey pot of gold.
I know.
But
I
you.
Did. I don't care about everybody else.
And, you know, I mean, whatever. I'm not a prude or an old person or whatever, but they're going to do the song about getting wasted drunk beyond all, you know, have a menage a trois. They're all singing all this stuff. They're not 18. We've established that they're not 18.
No, they're not.
And then they also, you know, the Christina Aguilera song that the girls did is also pretty explicit, sort of racy. I mean, whatever.
It's fun.
It's popular pop music. It's not like they don't play it on the radio, but still, it's just kind of like, I don't know, every now and then that takes me out of it. It's just kind of like, Mr. Schuster doesn't have a problem with this?
Well, he wasn't in charge of that song because the girls were doing it as far as that music boy, you know, bugle boy outfit they had
Well, it was the other group, but still, I mean, if it's been established in the show that it's been an issue before about what's appropriate and not appropriate for them to perform, you would think that that would come up in some way. Unless
especially
they're never
with all the extra scrutiny because Sue has made a public attack.
Like, if they're not going to perform that Christina Aguilera song, why do they have the costumes? Why do they have all the stuff?
Right.
No.
Go ahead.
Because that wasn't one of the fantasy moments. That was real moments. That's really there. And if it's been, again, it's established we're spending money on the arts. It's just, I know this, that's a whole separate storyline where the rich guy probably gave them all they wanted.
Right.
But it does seem a little odd. I understand the songs they want
to
do.
Right. Like, they're going to try to perform that at sectionals?
No, they're not going to do that.
That should be one of the ones they sing, not in the class structure related one, you know. The off characters experiencing something,
outside the...
It should be one of those.
Yeah.
Right.
The outside of the storyline
when
type.
They're walking down the hall and nobody else, you know, interacts with them at all, that kind of
way. Exactly.
Right, the dream sequence or whatever. Absolute best character on all of television is Kurt's dad.
Kurt's dad
love
rocks.
Him.
Yeah,
in
it's great
everything.
Character.
Nobody just puts it like Kurt's dad and just kind of bam, here's how it is. I would vote for him for anything under the sun. Kurt's dad for president, as far
absolutely.
As I'm concerned. He is awesome. Awesome. Capital A. All right. We also added a couple of new shows. We finally watched that Once Upon a Time show. We've watched both of the two episodes.
Okay. I've seen both episodes, yes. I'm gonna make sure I caught up the second one. So yes, it's interesting.
It is. It's like I really want to hate it. Mm-hmm. I do because I've, you know, my love for Fables.
Yeah.
The thing is, this could be a Fables miniseries. This little one-off version of this, because the Fables characters know who they are. They're just really living, you know, some of them
they're
do
stuck.
Have a little special place. Well, no. they ran from fairy tale. There was a war.
Okay,
there was a war.
So
sides
in
were
Fables,
chosen.
They're there, but they know who they are.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yes, they do. However, they haven't said yet, but the sheriff, you know, the sheriff is the big bad wolf, and they told you know he's going to be and they told
all
come
right.
on
that's he's very hairy.
That is straight up from Fables, okay? Because the cop is the big bad wolf. Bigby is what they like to call the cop, huh? Bigby.
Oh, lovely.
So I mean, it's so obvious that it was used as the starting point So
right, but every person you see kind of around in the town, we've been really focusing on the Snow White episode, you know, them. But yeah, there's all these other people here in the town, and if this show is going to have any legs at all, we've got to break away from this core cast. Because what we're looking at would work better as a movie or a miniseries and not a full show.
I am wondering how they're going to stretch this concept into years.
Yeah,
because if you're planning a television show, that what it would be. If it's gonna, how long is it gonna take her to break this curse?
I don't know. Maybe probably the end of the first season.
I don't know. I mean, we really need
and
to
then
start
afterwards. It's
the rebuilding.
The realizations start coming in. How do you deal with the two universes? Your two realities.
Well, you would think if the curse breaks, that they would all be transported back to Storyland. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, but I mean, we're moving forward every episode towards the breaking of the curse.
It's got me.
It's
interested
either
gonna
progress
to keep going
or it's
for a gonna
while. Stall. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely watching it. Speaking of the big bad wolf, we also caught Grimm.
Yes, better show.
Really?
Do you think
so? I think so.
Different.
I think this has the potential of being a better show.
Okay.
It has the potential to go more places, but it could also go very monster of the week really quickly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Tell his aunt is like a grown up old whatever Buffy. You know, because she's got like the secret stash of all the weapons. And, you know, she's either Buffy or she's Giles. I mean, she's got the books and she's got the talismans and she's got all this.
I believe they are trying to channel a little bit of the Buffy energy.
A little bit of Buffy.
Energy.
I definitely got a Buffy
like,
vibe.
Hey, folks, yeah.
It's some of the same creators.
You know, we've got a wolf, what do they call them? Bloodbane, something.
Yeah, something like that.
And, you know, who's trying to go straight. Blah, blah. You know, not everybody who's a demon is really going to be a bad guy.
You
it's
know
got
who
kind
I thought
of an angel vibe.
Well, I was thinking of, dude, it was killed off in the first season. That was his original partner that I can't think of.
I cannot remember his name. Yes.
Cannot think of his name at all right now.
Doyle.
He reminded me of Doyle.
Oh, yeah.
And this is weird. They both sort of use fairy tales esque elements for their shows.
Yeah.
They both had a yellow punch buggy. She drives
did
one,
they?
And the wolf drives
they
one.
Did. Yeah. Is that in Fables?
I don't know if Fables had one, but I'm saying in Once Upon a Time she has one, and
it's
Grimm, the wolf
has one.
It's
very interesting that these two shows are, you know, coming to television at the same time, and it's just kind of crazy, but they're definitely different. You know, in Grimm there's just the one world, but all the demons or whatever thingies are hiding, and he's one of the only ones who can see it. You know, he's a slayer, and he's just learning he's a slayer, you know, except it's not vampires, but it's
Grimm.
Gonna be that.
It's slightly different.
Exactly. So it's either going to be really good, like how Buffy ended up being good, or it's going to be first season Buffy over and over and over again.
Ooh, no. We don't want that.
No.
Or it might end up being as good as Buffy was mid-season and as okay as Buffy was at the end.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
That's what I'm
not
saying.
Not as good as the end. Okay.
No. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be, it's going to be interesting to see where this show goes.
I'll give it a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see.
So I think that is my list of TV. The day after we had the show, on Thursday night of last week, we went up to D.C. and saw a live show of Cinematic Titanic.
I saw the tickets you had online. You was like, hey, guess what we got? Click, click.
Yeah. Yep.
So this was, you know, some of the original cast from MST. It was Joel. Mm-hmm. It was J. Elvis
Josh Weinstein, who's just the original voice of Servo.
Oh,
Dr.
Okay.
Larry Eckhart.
TV's Frank and Trace.
Wow.
Yeah, and Mary Jo.
And Mary Jo was there as well. So,
wow.
So
this, yeah, it was pretty
was
cool.
This a live performance?
This was a live performance.
Live.
So they show the movie on a big screen, and they're there.
Okay.
On
that's,
the stage
I was
doing
looking
their
at
refs.
The ticket price that you had. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
oh,
this
they were
was
live?
Live?
Oh, okay. Then I'm fine.
Yeah. And they were there afterwards. Signing.
So my fan club picture from 20 years ago now has the original autographs in character and the actual actors. And Mary Jo signed it as Magic Voice because Magic Voice was just hurting everyone.
It was really, really good. They were really funny. They all did little bits at the beginning. Frank is like my hero. I think like if I had to come up with a list of people that I'd like to go out and party with, he's somewhere near the top. That man is crazy.
Because he introduced everybody and Frank did a little bit of stand-up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, when we saw him at Dragon, didn't he? He looked like he was a little sick or tired.
He looked like he was drunk.
Yeah. Okay. Like I was going to be nice about it.
Okay.
And say all
no, it's
up.
Fine. It was Dragon Con. I was drunk off my ass the entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. he looked good when we
okay,
saw him
good,
here.
Okay, good.
I mean, and he's crazy funny. Tweets from history.
Yes.
Don't know if you knew these, if they actually exist, but, you know, tweets from history.
Yeah. Like as if, you know, Teddy Roosevelt charged up the hill, #winning, Abraham Lincoln on his way to the theater.
I need to go. I need to see another show. I need to go to the theater again. Like I need another hole in the head.
It was just funny.
That's when he started off. He's like, really good. Abraham Lincoln about to go to the theater. The audience goes, oh, and he's like, no. He went to the theater more than once. You don't know. Wait till it's done before you boo me.
What, too soon?
And those are the
ones.
Yeah,
he did say that.
He did say that. And those are the ones we can tell without getting an explicit tag.
Yeah, because it was definitely
over,
awesome to hear him.
Just remind me about the massage. Just
the massage.
That. The massage.
The massage.
Let me write that down.
It was definitely fun. And then, you know,
see,
then
I got to shake Joel's hand.
Yeah, that was cool. I was even definitely a little bit like fangirl for Joel. And he still looked really good. I mean, they all look older, but he still, it was just kind of like,
we saw Rattlers.
Like, you are so awesome.
A mid-1970s movie about rattlesnakes that kill people.
Yeah, they get toxic infested 50 to
government
30
yeah,
to 50
of course,
snakes attacking
yeah.
all at once. It's
which
awesome.
We never really see happen. Kind of once, but not really.
Yeah, never. They Rattlers. Didn't have the budget for that. They just had a budget to dump
and,
them.
And there's a bit of women's lib subplot. In
oh
well,
well, look, well, you
sort
need
of,
that.
Yeah,
you need that.
And plenty of 70s sideburns. Oh yeah. And the worst toupee in ever.
Did it have a chin strap?
No, but it
might as well have. I don't know how it was staying on.
It kind of looked like a skull cap
a helmet.
With, of hair.
It was awful.
Very strange.
Mm. It was awful.
Okay,
and then we had Halloween weekend.
Woo!
Yes. Yay! And so we didn't really do much of anything Friday night. We were supposed to go to a party, but we weren't feeling well. But Saturday, we did the zombie walk, or I did the zombie walk, and I did not see you there. Were you there?
How did you not
I don't
see
know.
Me?
Did you see me?
No.
Okay.
Well then that would be how. How the hell? The same way you did.
I'm also 6'5". I'm easy to spot in
we
a crowd.
We got there kind of late.
She
and
was
so we
on
didn't
roller
get to
skates.
The meetup.
That kind of made her very easy to spot.
Okay, and tall.
So, along with a couple of other people on roller
skates. So
skate.
We got there. Yeah, we got there like right at 4:30, and we were just amazed that the thing was actually going on time.
Yeah.
So we just jumped right into the crowd and just
okay,
blended
so
in.
Okay, so you
and
were close
on.
To the end of the line.
Yeah, closer to the end.
I started off in the middle and ended up in the front of the crowd because I just stumble faster than everybody
I guess. Yeah, well, some of my other roller derby team was up kind of near the front.
I didn't see anybody else in roller skates.
Though.
Okay, that's
yeah.
okay. Fine,
but like the ones of us on skates were sort of near the back of the crowd. But when we turned around at the bird, I'm surprised I didn't see you there because we could see almost everybody was like right there in front
yeah.
of the bird.
Yeah,
so.
That's when I was at and the front of the crowd.
It was really fun. I learned how to do some zombie makeup with liquid latex and like different colors
yeah.
and paints and stuff. So
oh
I'm,
god,
like,
that was so much fun.
One of my
it?
Friends does all that stuff, so she was showing us how to do it. And so now I feel like I could totally do it. I had a bite kind of thing on my cheek, and then
really?
I had a gash across my eyebrow and the like gray. Makeup and my hair was all crazy. It was really, really fun.
Outstanding.
It was kind of. It was like the weather was good at first, and then it started got cold.
Oh,
and we
yes,
were all
it
like,
did.
Oh, and then it started raining, and we were just kind of like blah. But it was still really fun. Did you see the time lapse video yet?
No,
I'll send
no,
it to you. That somebody had a camera set up just doing shot
yeah.
after the other, and made it into a time lapse.
And they got
video.
A little Nickelodeon music behind it.
I don't think there's any music, but
if
yeah, there's tons
you know
of pictures.
The zombie walk, they have pictures in 3D.
Yeah, I've seen
and
those.
I'm the cover one. I'm
oh,
the
are
front
you?
One
okay, well,
because
I've seen, we were in that album as well, so that's
yeah.
pretty cool. So that was really fun. And then that same day, we went to a really good Halloween party. It was like a video game theme.
Oh, yep. okay.
And except not everybody really followed the theme, but most everybody did. So there was a girl dressed up like Voldo from Soul Calibur.
Yep.
That was really pretty good. That was Paris. She was one, like all gray and really like
talk.
Flipping and upside
okay,
down and everything.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Has a gag and doesn't talk. There was a Lara Croft and she had styrofoam ball boobies and they were huge.
yeah.
And who was Raven? Raven was.
She was someone from Mortal Kombat because
Mortal Kombat.
All I really remember was there was a Harley Quinn.
Yeah, there was the Harley Quinn.
There you go.
There was a Poison Ivy.
Which Harley
just
Quinn?
Just not quite any of them.
Animated Adventures one or.
It was.
It was a corset, and
it was
leather
pants. Yeah, yeah. It was in between, so it was the comic book,
okay.
the actual official DC universe comic
okay.
book.
Okay.
Harley.
Yeah, so that was really good, and the Scarecrow one was like really good attention to
yeah.
detail.
Yeah, he had a really good Scarecrow.
Like,
he even set up the little thing with
the injector
and a voice
for growth
that were you know day glowish. You know,
wow.
Yeah,
and that group also had a nurse Joker
until it started leaking. But until that moment, it was awesome.
Yeah, then he had to take that part of it off. There were a couple of Shy Guys, which if you think about it, a red Snuggie and like a just
a pie plate
pie
that you cut a hole in to draw a little face on.
From
Mario?
Mario, the red Shy Guys. Okay.
Shy Guys.
There
okay.
was even a Nyan Cat, how do you say it? N-Y-A-N.
I don't
you
even know.
From the,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
with the Pop-Tarts and the rainbow. It was pretty good attention to detail,
it
I have
was.
To say.
I was like, wow, that was
there were a lot
impressive.
Of really good costumes. We were pirates.
Yep.
And I think our costumes turned out really, really good.
They were pretty awesome.
Good attention to detail. So that was really fun. We'll get a lot of wear out of those. I'm sure you'll see those at a con at some point.
Somewhere.
Yep. Somewhere.
So we had a good time, a piratical time indeed.
R-M-A-T-s.
And then on actual Halloween, we dressed up again in our pirate costumes, and it was kind of disappointing. I don't know where you live, but we had a ton of rain. Like, it was really, really was pouring. Raining. So some of the kids were coming out even though they were drenched. So I was giving them like big handfuls of candy. Like, here you go, dude. You deserve it. And a lot of kids who just didn't even have costumes at all. And just our numbers were way, way down. I think it was the rain. I don't know.
It was also Monday, or whatever. Too. So
yeah, it was a Monday. So whatever. But we had our lights. We had the fog machine. We had the music going. I mean, we go all out for Halloween. So we had fun, even if everybody else. We ended up with some Jello shots left over, which never happens. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the parents are staying in the car this time.
Right.
Yeah, once it started raising, go run, kids, run.
Yeah, but at the beginning, it was kind of reminiscent of years past.
So this one family that did that, kids ran out, kid jumps back in the car, and as they start to go away, this woman in the passenger seat realized what house we were.
Oh.
And you could see her. You could see it in her eyes. She's like, oh, I really want a Jell-O shot, but I don't want to get out of the car.
started to go, so there was that. I'm sorry, you're not supposed to pause there.
No, that's okay. And then the other thing I did, I made a website. We have this event coming up that we call Seasons Beatings for roller derby. And I made a whole WordPress blog for the event and Google Docs for the registration and everything under the, I made an entire website, and it's actually really cool. And
we can't see it, so there's no...
Yeah. Okay. That's
yeah,
not...
So I, really cool
I was just sitting here as you were talking about that, all of a sudden, and I'm going to get jokes for this, my crotch started to get a little warm, and the dogs put her head right between my legs and started breathing. I was like, what the hell? Oh, hi. How you doing, Sophie?
Sophie, leave the bruise alone.
Okay,
but
then.
If anybody wants to see my website, maybe I'll give it to Billy Flynn and he can put it in the show notes. And that was pretty geeky because that took me a good couple of hours to make
sure
a whole website with, you know, tabs and everything. And I think it came out really, really good. So that has been my geeky week.
Okay, getting back to the zombie walk. I actually did show up for the pregame or pre-party or whatever the heck it is.
The meetup.
Yeah. About half of the people, maybe half of the people. Hi, how you doing, Sophie? About half of the people that were actually did the zombie walk were actually decided to show up and wait at the at Bird Park by the lake.
Okay.
It was effing cold.
I would imagine.
Oh, my God. They said it was the coldest zombie walk ever, about 38 degrees outside, you know, brisk winds, raining, intermittent.
Hey, there were little flakes of snow.
Yeah. Let's see.
Extreme weather differences, conditions. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go with that one. Let's see, about 150 zombies, give or take. You think
I didn't count. There were a lot of them.
About.
How could you not?
Yeah.
You didn't play the zombie bingo? Mm-mm. Okay.
I don't see you in this one picture. I'm looking for the
pictures. Not that one.
Is it on the Facebook page?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
It's not the one where the Shane is staying there. Everybody's Yeah, I'm in the back of that crowd. let's see. By the time I was done with that walk, my fingers were completely frozen.
So really feeling the part.
I was. Oh yeah.
Nice.
Definitely. And moaning the entire time. My voice was sore for like 2 days afterwards.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my God.
And then every now and then I would go, brains. And I did not read the rules. So I didn't blatantly break any rules, but I didn't touch anybody, but I definitely scared some people who may or may not have wanted to be scared.
Yeah, I did that too.
Because I would stagger, brains, like right at somebody. Definitely freaked out some teenagers.
You didn't touch them. They were there. They knew what they were getting into.
I would
smurf them.
I would really like to think that that I was personally responsible for some nightmares. That'd be pretty awesome.
That'd be cool. I mean, when you saw somebody kind of freaking out a little bit, cowering a little bit, you made sure that you got their attention just a little bit more.
For all the times I've been that girl. Yep.
Yeah. It's now your turn to turn it around on doors. Did you see some of those cool zombie costumes?
There were a lot of good zombie themes. Yeah, different ones. There was a little kid in front of us who's featured in some of these pictures who was really good. It was a combination of mask and makeup.
Yes.
And,
he won the kids.
Right.
Kids makeup.
Yeah, he ended up right in front of me at one point. It was pretty good.
There was a Steve Urkel zombie. That was funny. Harry Carey zombie, because every once in a while he'd just go, Cubs win. You know how hard it is to keep a straight face and you're moaning and all you hear, Cubs win.
Oh my God.
You just can't do it anymore. You start laughing. And there was the Shane from The Walking Dead was actually being chased by zombies at certain times.
Interesting.
That was pretty cool. Right. There were a couple of fun, like, I got a kick out of the zombie protesters, the ones that were like,
yes!
Brains are not food. Yeah. Zombies are not, you know, it was pretty cool.
That was great. I point at when go hungry.
Nice.
For some of us who were staying at the pre-party, the Virginia Lottery was out there and gave away some Plants vs. Zombies scratcher tickets.
Nice.
And
fun.
Codes for a free download of the game.
Awesome.
The full version of the game. So I got that. And so needless to say, I've been playing a little bit of Plants vs. Zombies. It's a fun time. It's a wasting your time type of game. It's kind of like, you know, Angry Birds is, you know. It's
one of the more inventive tower defense games.
It's boring. It's not boring. It's, you know, it's not going to break the
world.
It's
like a little puzzle, right? Yeah. It's like when you need an escape. You don't have to think too hard about it, but you can just play and
I got 5 minutes.
Yeah. Which turns into an hour and about really quickly.
Oh, okay.
I went to another Halloween party on Sunday night. This wasn't that great.
Okay.
Because the people didn't dress up? Or
half the people didn't dress up in costume. I was like, oh, you people suck.
I'm waiting to be impressed.
Yeah. Needless to say, we left a little bit early.
Okay. Wow.
Some of the shows that you didn't talk about, American Horror Story.
Is so awesome.
Oh, Zachary Quinto.
Oh, my God.
Oh, if he didn't come out before that episode, he was actually going to be, he would have actually impressed me more as an actor if he hadn't have come out before that episode. But he's still amazing.
Not all gay people.
I know. Okay. But the fact that he is so flamboyantly in character in that entire episode is just like, oh, that's just absolutely amazing.
You know, this has been renewed, right?
Yes.
So we're getting a season two.
Yes.
And this is just a darkly twisted, effed up show.
Yes. Oh,
damn.
God. Maybe they'll have a different family in their second act.
How is that for a cliffhanger, by the way? Oh, see, yeah, I was wondering that. They would have to, at some point...
They just leave.
The reason this is... I understand the reason this is being drawn out and why it's not just a, you know, like in the movie, roar, scary ghost attack. I get that, and I think that's brilliant. But yes. you can't go four years.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sooner or later,
they're going to go, all right, screw it. We're out. Peace,
and hell,
bitches.
You know, I'd like to see more of the other people.
And then have the original family come back. Who knows?
Good show.
Oh, unless you pretty much talked about most of all the shows.
I did a pretty good job this time.
Yeah. I think Thundercats is the only one. Chuck is back.
Oh, woo. Okay.
It's good.
It's wrapping up.
It put a nice twist to this episode.
Okay.
There's not as much money left.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You can tell that?
Okay. Well, no, they said it.
Oh.
Well, no, I mean,
what?
The whole Chuck and his crew got the inheritance, sort of.
Right.
They got left like $890 million.
See, I thought you meant like for the budgets.
Actually.
They broke the fourth wall and acknowledged they were out of money.
Hey, we're out of money, people. It was kind of funny because Mark Hamill was in the first episode and I thought it was Meatloaf.
What? Shut up.
Oh, because Meatloaf's been losing weight and Mark Hamill found it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess somebody hit
there. Sorry. Okay. So other than pretty much working out, dealing with my oldest daughter and her car, and still looking for another job, that's pretty much been my geeky sweet.
Outstanding. So Batman Arkham City.
I want this game.
It is so awesome.
So you don't have it?
Not yet.
See, okay. All right. So first off, the side stories alone. I'm finally getting back to the main plot because I've been playing so much of just little side stories because... Uh-huh. They're really tons of fun. The Mad Hatter one was quite interesting. There came a moment in the game, and if I've said this before, I apologize, but it's still great. There came a moment in the game where I wished I was Adam West because I really, really, really wanted some bat anti-shark repellent.
Yes.
Do you think they put that in there just for that?
Well, that and the fact that this game has a 3D mode where you don't have to have a 3D TV. There's a certain type of glasses that picks up this signal.
Uh-huh.
So there's a couple moments in the game where I'm like, oh, that's great 3D. And yes, the needing bat anti-shark repellent is a great 3D moment, which is, I'm sure, kind of why that was there. Because having sharks jump out at you is great.
Yeah.
They worked in Resident Evil. So, yeah, good stuff. Calendar Man. See, the fact you don't have this already is kind of a bummer.
Because Halloween happened.
So I went to see Calendar Man.
What happened?
He told me a nice little story about how Halloween doesn't really matter in Arkham because, you know, pretty much everyone always has their masks on. And he, you know, gets to talking just a little bit and then just stops and sits down. And then when you try to talk to him again, that's when he starts saying things about Thanksgiving. So,
oh, son of a...
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't, no achievement or anything because, yes, you're going to have to keep coming back
to get
on holidays
to
eventually get the achievement. How long? We don't know. No idea.
1 year.
And today, the downloadable content got released for Nightwing. So
with nice. Both costumes.
Yes, the animated and regular and some challenge maps. December next month is when we finally get the Batman skins pack, so you can get like the animated Batman, the Adam West sort of looking Batman.
Oh, wow.
Batman Beyond.
Oh, ho. So how much is the actual, the season pass or whatever they call it?
They don't have a season pass for this one.
No, they don't?
Nope.
So,
and if they do, then I'm screwed because I just bought the Nightwing thing and because I was looking and there was no season pass. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So Battlefield 3.
How was?
Is just great. It's just really, really great. They've streamlined the classes a little bit, which I think works. And just literally, I mean, the thing looks, the physics of all the stuff crumbling and falling, it's just damned impressive. It's just a damned impressive. Been overloading the servers for a while. It's also EA's biggest selling game ever now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So Gamefly sent me Spider-Man Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, which I got last week. Of course, last week is also when I got
Arkham
Battlefield
City. Yeah,
so I hadn't played
it hasn't been open.
So opened it today, went to play it. Disc is unreadable. My first unreadable disc from Gamefly.
Oh, wow.
So,
congratulations.
Yeah, so that's on its way back. New episode of Star Trek Miami is up. Just did lines for a new episode as well. That's really great. Sci-fi shenanigans. Go check that out. The rest of the cast is incredibly funny, and they really support the fact that I'm just a no-talent hack. So I'd like to say that, because they're awesome.
And that's on tape, too.
They're awesome. It is. It's right there.
Okay.
I'm very, very happy to be part of this. It's awesome. So we did watch Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, yeah. I knew we had watched a movie.
The 1931 Frederick March Academy Award-winning performance of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because of all the versions that have ever been made, this is still by far my favorite. Because, wow, yeah, they kind of go some dark, dark places. Because it was 1931 before they had movie codes. So I've seen this several times. So thoughts?
I was impressed by how much they could do. You got a little side boob, you know, just in general, it was dark and it was not just implied like violence and the difference, the duality and the change from Jekyll to Hyde. Considering the fact that they had no technology whatsoever was impressive. That was definitely cool.
And, you know, this movie is always sort of they left it up to the audience to figure a bunch of stuff out. I mean, there's some things they just couldn't say, like the fact that Jekyll wants we've got to get married. You know, I don't want to wait to get married. He's not talking about marriage so much.
Yeah.
And that necessarily.
Yes,
indeed. But Jekyll...
Well, back then, married meant.
Right. So they never exactly told us how much Jekyll knew what Hyde was doing, and that's left to the viewer. And depending upon how much you think he knew, depends upon how dark that movie really, really is.
Right.
Because
like, did he know into
he
it anyway,
know,
or did he not know? He knows...
He does know something, because Jekyll sets up a little side place for this one dancing girl that he keeps just abusing. And so Jekyll has the one paying for this, so he has to know. He has
he
to
knows.
Know some of this.
Yeah.
How much does he know? I don't know, but dark, 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 dark shit. So there is that. I hope everyone went by and downloaded the free Pinball FX2 table Paranormal that they gave out for free for Halloween. It's pretty fun. Pinball FX2 is great physics. If you like pinball at all, it's some good stuff. School, I didn't have to do really anything for my part of the team project this past week.
Outstanding.
Because I was like, you know, we talked in our little team forums, la, 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 la. And I'm like, okay, what are we doing? Talk to a guy on the phone. And 2 days later, here's like, boom, there's our paper.
Project's done.
Okay. Sure, I'll take that. So that's moving right along. Buck-a-chump, buck-a-chump. Watch The Last Exorcism. This is another one of those, you know, it's not found footage, except it would have to be depending upon because of how it ended. So I don't know how this works. It's a found footage thing. There's this guy. He's a reverend. He goes around and does exorcisms.
Yeah.
There's a documentary crew filming it because this is going to be his last exorcism because he's going to come clean with how he's been bilking people out of money. Or as he puts it, if they really believe that there's a demon and they believe that I can cleanse it, I'm just providing a service, and what's wrong with that?
Okay.
So the whole concept of this is supposed to be, of course, that, well, this time the exorcism
is
real. Except, it's an interesting enough concept. I kind of like the lead, the guy, and his little story. But this is another thing where nothing really happens, and by the time it does, it's a bit too little too late. And then for no reason, there's a twist. So I can't really recommend this film at all.
No.
I mean, not even. There are better things that you could waste your time on, because this isn't bad enough for you to pay attention to and not good enough to draw your interest.
Okay.
It's kind of Wolverine.
Okay. All right. What I'm saying. I'll take that.
So then I watched Hatchet. This is a from.
Okay. I think I remember this one.
The Victor Crowley.
One that they couldn't show.
The one that they couldn't show. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, the one they couldn't show in theaters or something like that. Was that Hatchet 2?
I don't know.
All right, go ahead.
But anyway, this is Hatchet. If you're a fan of 80s slasher flicks, mm-hmm. this is a nice homage to that. Goofily gory. Tons of cameos. Robert Englund, Kane Hodder's in this. Tony Todd is in this in little bits and pieces. It's fun enough. I've seen worse, but it's you could do a lot worse, especially if you can sit around with some buddies and it's Halloween or whatever. Yeah, I can definitely recommend having a good time there. I went back and saw The Curse of Dracula again, the Christopher Lee Hammer version. And for as much as people tell me, there are people that for some people, Christopher Lee is Dracula. Here's why Christopher Lee is not my Dracula. Ooh, what are we looking at on the screen?
Some of the Richmond Roller Girls on the Zombie Walk.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
Why is he not your Dracula?
I was wondering because I couldn't see it. Because Hammer saved money by not really having him talk. So for the most part, and especially as the sequels went along, Dracula did more just hissing and looking menacing. This makes him more of a feral animal creature, but that's not quite how I see Dracula.
No.
Right, so so anyway. Something she forgot I didn't mention was the return of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, yeah.
Because I missed it.
How dare you?
I know. I remembered it was supposed to be coming on.
It's MTV. They haven't shown it 85 times since then.
I know. I keep forgetting about this stupid flipping.
Really good.
Really?
Really good. It's almost as if it just hadn't stopped. I mean, there's no acknowledgement it's ever been away. It's just, boom, there's another episode on.
Yep.
Okay.
Except they're, making fun of things that are going on and happening right now.
Because, you see.
No video music videos anymore to joke.
Well, they did actually.
Still exist, yes.
They had a music video they joked during. They also
had a clip of the Jersey Shore.
That they got to riff on, which is Beavis and Butthead. But no, you know how girls are all into vampires and stuff now?
Yeah.
Well, the boys decide that's how they're going to get some chicks.
They're going to try to become vampires.
Yeah. So they find a werewolf, actually.
Uh huh.
And have the werewolf bite them. What they don't know, of course, is it's a homeless guy who has hep. A, B, C, and D.
Oh, my God.
So,
it's Beavis and Butthead. It's crazy. I wouldn't have thought. I was curious, so it works. It was funny, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it again. But, oh, my God, MTV, do you not have anything else coming on? We saw a commercial for another animated show that's like the opposite of that Alan Gregory show that's on Fox now.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like that. Except take the character and all the stuff that you saw in that trailer and have everybody's personalities kind of switched. He's more of an outgoing, I'm a surfer kind of kid and wanting to have fun, but it's that same kind of dynamic looking thing.
Okay.
Anyway, I babble. So mark this day on your calendar, folks. I bought an app. Oh, my God.
Okay. Wow. Yes, Flynn does not buy apps.
I do not buy apps, and I finally bought my first app.
And it'll be the free app of the day tomorrow.
It's definitely going to be. I've been waiting, but I wanted to play with this app for a couple of days, for a little bit first, because I want to try to use it. It's called Tape Machine. Easy enough.
Yeah.
Tape Machine is an app that takes just the microphone on your phone and lets you use it as a voice recorder, much better than the voice recorder app that comes with your phone now.
It's get much higher quality.
Studio quality. I mean,
really?
It's really, really good audio quality. You can the free version, you can have like, I think it's a minute of audio at a time if you have to save it.
Mm-hmm.
The version I have, it's like 2 hours at a time you can go.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's
on one file. You can save that into another one. So, tons. You can export it as like 7 different audio formats, WAV, TIFF, MP3, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
There's even basic editing features right there on it.
Right there on the phone.
Oh, wow.
So, you've seen Audacity Cool, same kind of thing. I can highlight, I can delete, I can reverse, I can put a fade out. I can do some basic editing right there. And that's something I'd kind of like to maybe try to use, I don't know, at some event. If we're ever together with a bunch of cool people doing anything fun, it might be interesting to kind of use that to talk to people.
I don't know what you mean.
I haven't the slightest freaking concept either.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
So the pub crawl is this Saturday, completely unrelated to anything I was talking about whatsoever at all before. So, there's that. Where are we meeting?
Shanae at 8 o'clock.
There you go. I was going to say when, but you went ahead and took that away from me.
I did. I knew.
So there's tons of people. We're going to be there. We're going to have tons and tons of fun. Like I said, we're going to end up Mars and Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to go to Fallout, the theme for Fallout is Anarchy.
Anarchy on the
which really has nothing to do with our topic at all.
Nothing.
Not in the slightest bit. But we'll be there. We're going to have fun. We'll be going places and drinking and just cavorting around, I believe. Is how we say
and it. And I'm probably even trying to convince a few individuals to come with us.
Outstanding.
We're going to, just random individuals at these establishments.
We'll make a train. Nice.
Maybe.
Like, what was that ball that picks up stuff as they go? Catamaran?
Sticky ball.
Oh.
Catamari.
Okay, what are you talking about?
We're
I was like,
pick up people as we go along. We're just going to join the group. Let's go.
Like a lint ball? What are you talking about?
Or one of those big avalanche snowballs. That picks up everything along
yes,
its way.
Yes, I see what you're saying.
Yep.
I was thinking of snow cones for a moment there, and I don't know why. So that's going to be there. That's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be fun, and you really just can't stop it from happening. So that's what we'd like to say. Anything else anybody know about for anything?
Not right now.
Good.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So the 75th anniversary of The Hobbit is coming up.
Yeah.
75, how about that? So for the first time ever, the original illustrations that J.R.R. Tolkien designed that brought to his publisher to try to describe this world, this book he wanted to write, are going to be published in another upcoming re-release of the book. There's about 20 illustrations that show that, he's a pretty good artist as well. But the link is up. These have never been seen before, and it's just interesting because of the artwork that we're all familiar with from the book, to see how
he saw it.
Yes, and it's similar, but it's just weird to see the genesis and the birth of it.
Okay.
Well, I have.
I'm waiting on you.
Paying attention.
You normally go second,
if I'm not mistaken. No, it's usually her. It's usually...
Well, mine is a good one, so just,
go ahead.
Top this.
Go ahead.
Vampire bacteria could become the ultimate antibiotic. Done.
What?
That's it. No, they found this bacterium in sewage water that could revolutionize modern medicine. What it does, it's the equivalent of a vampire. It's not a vampire, but it sucks nutrients out of other bacteria. So it could revolutionize antibiotics and stop the rise of this super bug. So this could be, a bacterium that you send in to attack the other bacteria. It could be the ultimate antibiotic. So, or it could be a total catastrophe and end up, destroying the entire world.
Exactly.
Get your plywood and your crossbows ready.
This is what starts the zombie apocalypse.
I think so.
That's what it
is. Probably
they
what
just
is.
Won't die. They won't stay down.
No.
There it is. Superbug.
All right. You've bought some cool things off of eBay, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've been stuff like The Evening with George Lucas and stuff from Caprica and Stargate and stuff like that. Well, how about a walk-on role in Joss Whedon's new movie, In Your Eyes?
I already know that I can't afford it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, right?
Yeah, probably not. But still, In Your Eyes, according to the eBay description, is a metaphysical love story about two seemingly polar opposites who are deeply connected in ways they could never have imagined. And you and one friend can get on the set and even get a little airtime.
Nice.
All right, the winner...
win it? Yeah, or you have to buy it?
Well, you got
to
buy it. The winning bid. The
winning bid.
Yeah. The winner will be able to bring a friend and watch the experience with the big debut. The filming's complete package and locations is still yet to be determined, but it's... Yes, I did. The two-person package does not include any travel or accommodations. So all the proceeds of this auction go to the Adrienne Shelley Foundation that supports artistic achievement for female actors, writers, directors in a series of scholarships, grants, and industry mentoring.
Okay.
Right now, I checked this 2 hours ago. The bid is right now at $1,025, and there is 9 days, as we're recording it, 9 days left to bid on this.
So it's going to go to $100 billion.
Okay, that's...
$1 billion.
So there you go. That's everything that's going on, well, currently. There's always more going on. If you're following us on Facebook and Twitter, you know about the Angry Birds board game, and you've seen the Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer. So come check out that and more, and see us at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. I missed the damn bell.
You missed the bell.
That was crazy.
Don't take your eye off the bell.
Lettuce today.
We have no mail.
We have no mail whatsoever.
No voicemail, no mail.
No, nothing
mail?
At all. So there's not even a point of telling anybody how to send mail, but I guess I should anyway. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinch, all at geekradiodaily.com, or you can send voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
They don't get three because they didn't send anything.
Send some mail next time.
It's because we're doing the show too often. We need a break.
You should take one. Let's take a break. Right now.
Don't overlook my butt. I work out all the time. And reaping burns a lot of calories.
So I've heard.
It's the GRD Fit Club. It's all the geek without the weight. This topic just kind of came up out of nowhere after the zombie crawl.
That's what she said.
Frostbite.
Oh, because you got cold?
Hey, come on, fingers got cold.
It wasn't that cold.
No, it wasn't, but it was like hard to bend my fingers afterwards. So frostbite is a condition where the skin and tissue is damaged due to extreme cold. Now, there are
it takes more than a 40-degree day with rain in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, it does.
But okay.
But, well, people, you know, there are places right now that are getting like 2 feet of snow. So yes. Let's just talk about frostbite while
okay.
we got a chance.
Sure.
There are four levels of frostbite that range from the surface skin becoming frozen with some itching and burning sensations in the hands and toes to muscles, nerves, and blood vessels becoming frozen, which leads to permanent damage and amputations.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
No point going through all the levels.
No, they're bad.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
They're all bad. The treatment for frostbite consists of rapid warming of the affected areas by use of body heat or warm or hot baths.
Ladies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What you never want to do is to rub the areas or try to shake it out.
Nope.
Okay.
So what do you want to do?
Do you want to warm them up rapidly, either using body heat or warm or hot warm baths?
Warm them rapidly, not slowly.
Yeah, you want to because you want to loosen the. You want to lessen the damage as quickly as possible.
Mm, okay. Because I would think it'd be a shock to the system, and you'd want to go from cold to warm gradually.
Well, that's why for hypothermia, you're basically supposed to get naked with somebody because that
in
really,
a sleeping bag.
That really, you know, for the shock to the system, that really soothes you.
That'll do it. for frozen, you know, frozen fluids in water in the muscles and tissue can create ice crystals that will severely damage the tissue. I mean, I've had frostbite once, and first thing my mom did was rub my hands. Like, here you go, let's warm my hands up. I'm like, ow, 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 ow. So you can actually damage
the
tissue.
You had frostbite?
I actually had frostbite as a child once. It was like first level frostbite, so it was just bad, but it hurt. But it was no big deal. What you also want to do is you want to wrap and splint the area to prevent movement and get them to the hospital. So you actually prevent the damage from recurring, so them like trying to flex their hands
so
and warm them up.
Would you like recommend Public Enemy then?
Wrap.
Yes.
Yeah. Not so much.
Thank you.
Like gauze, maybe.
All right.
Yeah. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, frostbite. Don't get it.
It's bad.
And if you do, warm the body up gently. Actually, warm it
up
quickly.
No.
Warm it up quickly.
Right.
And get to the hospital and check it out. Maybe I should, you know, prevent some nerve damage later on.
And, you know, no matter what they say, rubbing snow into it? No.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid, actually.
No, it makes it feel warmer. Yeah, it makes it feel warmer, but not really. So, don't be stupid.
Schmuck.
That's just what we're saying. So, you can find that out. We've got a complete forum over there at the a thread at the forums at geekradiodaily.com with the Fit Club, where you can find out about all kinds of cool things like this and about possibly more information about our main topic, which we'll be talking about. In a moment?
In a moment?
Sure.
Cool.
You got something else?
No, that's it.
All right, we're good.
Cool.
We're good.
All right.
Do you want to come with me? Because if you do, then I should warn you. You're going to hear all sorts of things.
A very informal roundtable discussion.
Fans from the past.
I'll be the old classic series curmudgeon fan.
Australians from the future.
So the Australian is actually in Australia?
A guy from Kentucky.
I am not from Kentucky.
It won't be short, it won't be work safe, and it won't be on topic.
We're too lazy to bleep.
But I'll tell you what it will be.
It's not going to be your typical Doctor Who podcast.
The trip of a lifetime.
Because Daleks are still cuddly.
Everybody needs
pretty much
hooked Alex.
From
I did
run.
Convince someone to knit a 14-foot scarf.
If I ever meet Mark Gatiss,
yeah,
give
since
him a
when
hug.
Does the master wear
I
a hoodie?
They want you to think it's a doctor, and then it's wrong.
But back to Doctor Who.
The Type 40 Podcast. Find us on iTunes or at www.thetype40podcast.com.
Hi, I'm Trace Ballou from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Hi, this is Frank Conniff, also from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
And you're listening to what again? What are you listening to?
I believe this show is called Geek Radio Daily. Radio Geek Daily, Daily Geek Radio Thing, thing that's a Radio Geek show.
Nah.
Whatever it is, you can call it whatever you want, and you are lucky enough to be listening to
Who
it.
Who would name a thing like that?
I don't know. It's a crazy name for a show. The kids today with the crazy names that they come up with. I don't get it.
Just push the button, Frank.
Okay.
In the mid-1980s, I was asked by an American legal institution known as the Christic Institute to compile a comic book which would detail the murky history of the CIA from the end of the Second World War to the present day, covering things such as the heroin smuggling during the Vietnam War, the cocaine smuggling during the war in Central America, the Kennedy assassination, and other highlights. What I learned during the frankly horrifying research that I had to slog through to accomplish this was that, yes, there is a conspiracy. In fact, there are a great number of conspiracies that are all tripping each other up, and all of those conspiracies are run by paranoid fantasists and ham-fisted clowns. If you are on a list targeted by the CIA, you really have nothing to worry about. If, however, you have a name similar to somebody on a list targeted by the CIA, then you are dead. The main thing that I learned about conspiracy theory is that conspiracy theorists actually believe in a conspiracy because that is more comforting. The truth of the world is that it is chaotic. The truth is that it is not the Jewish banking conspiracy, or the grey aliens, or the 12-foot reptiloids from another dimension that are in control. The truth is far more frightening. Nobody is in control. The world is rudderless.
Well, now I'm depressed.
Why?
Well said. Well spoken.
I think that's an uplifting thing. Hi, welcome back to GeoDice Weekly, episode number 138.
Yep.
And you're depressed? How could you possibly be depressed by that?
The world is going to crap and nobody's steering the ship.
No one's in control.
Well, that would imply that anyone ever was steering
the
ship.
That's true.
So there's that. So
I steer my own ship. How about that?
I'd pay to see that. So, you know, that's words and wisdom from the one and only Mr. Alan Moore. A brilliantly twisted guy, which I think is about as nice a way as I can possibly say that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the nicest way you can ever say talk about him. Brilliant and effing twisted.
Yeah, so Alan Moore being an anarchist and the 5th of November coming up, it kind of only makes sense to have talked about this. And wow, if only we'd figured that out, I don't know, more than 3 hours ago. No, I'm kidding.
We figured it out like four.
Exactly. Exactly. Alan Oswald Moore.
Oswald.
Oswald, yeah.
Cobblepot Moore.
Been working in comics since the late 70s, like 1978, 79 or something, working on stuff. All kinds of things. He's best known, you know, once he's started working on, like, Marvel UK. Once, you know, he stopped doing little independent stuff in Marvel, and the UK picked him up like, hey, dude, you're awesome. That in 2000 AD.
He worked on Doctor Who Weekly early on.
He did work on Doctor Who Weekly. Now, I would really love to have seen some, you know, Alan Moore Doctor Who stories.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I would feel really bad for his companion, though.
Companion of the week story.
That would have to be a solo doctor story because I would feel really, really bad for his companion.
Somebody's going to die and it's not going to be the doctor.
Someone's going to, yeah. Wow. Yeah, Alan Moore. If you don't know Alan Moore, what would you say? What would you call him? He's an occultist, he says. He's a ceremonial magician.
Yes.
Anarchist.
If you saw him on the street, you'd probably run.
Cross the street at least.
He does kind of look like the one guy from the Oak Ridge Boys.
Or Rob Zombie. Or
I like mine better. It's true.
Yeah, I know exactly. Because I know exactly who you're talking about. I was like, yeah, it does too.
Yeah, he really, really, really does.
Oak Ridge Boys. Okay, let's see.
Yeah, I gotta look at the one guy.
Trust me. You'll know which one you're talking about.
Because Alan Moore doing Elvira would just be...
Which,
wow.
Actually, that has a double entendre. Thank you very much.
The one
much.
With the beard?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No. The skinny one. The tall, skinny one. That's who I was thinking of.
Oom Papa Mau Mau.
Oom Papa Mau Mau in...
Wow.
Indeed.
Okay.
Moving on.
Moving on. The real reason that we, most of us, I would say, know Alan Moore is because his work with Marvel UK in 2000 AD got him the attention of Len Wein over DC Comics, who wanted to bring him on to write Sandman. In 1983, Sandman at the time was a comic book that was struggling. The sales had dropped tremendously, and it was just some formulaic superhero, but he's a plant kind of thing. And Alan Moore came in and did something that Alan Moore does quite often. He took the main character, wiped away everything that ever happened, and what we thought before was all a lie, and went on and did very, very weird things.
It was only a dream.
It was the first retcon.
No, there have been...
But still, it's
there have been plenty of those guys. Swamp Thing became this very, very weird, experimental, strange, trippy comic in which we learned that Swamp Thing is actually a plant elemental.
You had said Sandman, and I was confused.
Did I say
Sandman? You
meant
Swamp Thing, yeah.
I'm sorry. I did not mean... Wow, I did not even realize that. I did not realize that
at
all.
And then you were like, a plant, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, no, okay, so you were talking about Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I'm crazy.
Cold medication's doing that to you, huh?
It's got to be. It's got to be doing that. The series got critical acclaim because, if you've never read the Alan Moore run on Swamp Thing, you really, really have to, because it changes the whole concept of the character as you know it.
Swampy?
You really wish the TV show would have been based a little more on this.
Mm.
The powers and the abilities and the things that he does, it becomes much more epic in scope than anything that had ever really happened before that. The big thing he did before that got the attention, was it Marvel Man? I don't know.
Yeah, they called it Marvel Man in the UK.
When did Marvel Man come out?
Hold on, where is it? I had it right here.
Which was Miracle Man in the United States, because Marvel, won't let you call anything Marvel, because they're kind of jerks.
Doesn't say when.
Oh, well.
1983.
We're around the same time.
82 and 83.
There you go. It's right before he came over to do that. Miracle Man was a character based on Captain Marvel, the UK version of Captain Marvel, who was in comics for like 30 years over there. And Alan Moore wrote a new, gritty, weird interpretation of it, in which this guy finds out he has amnesia, and so his entire life that he thinks of is a complete lie. And he's really this character, Miracle Man, who's basically Captain Marvel. And it becomes a lot more epic in scope and cosmic in nature, and explores a lot of very weird, strange issues, and is the only comic book that I know of where you actually see a baby crowning. So, It's a little strange. It's dark. It's got some very, very sad things in it, but that's what you're going to do. So Sandman. Swamp Thing. Why am I doing that?
You have this thing about Sandman, don't you?
I love Sandman, dude. It's one of the greatest comics ever made.
A little bit later.
We'll do a Neil Gaiman episode in a different day.
Certainly. Because a lot of characters, I guess, that interacted with Sandman popped up. John Constantine. Hellblazer.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah, popped up in Sandman.
I'm just making sure now.
Sandman.
All right, go ahead.
Like John Constantine. John Constantine Hellblazer. Not the awful Keanu Reeves movie. Showed up in Swamp Thing. I've got that issue. It's quite a good one. Swamp Thing showed up. There was a great Batman issue that was tremendous. So Alan Moore started writing some other things. He wrote the fantastic Superman story for The Man Who Has Everything, in which Wonder Woman, Batman, and Robin go to celebrate Superman's birthday, and they find him with this weird plant embedded into his chest. They made that wonderful Justice League Unlimited episode.
Exactly, that's where I remember that from.
Yes. And they even kept Burn, which I really, really loved that they kept that little moment. Burn. DC does have the trade paperback of like pretty much all the Alan Moore stories, because Magog, oh my god, Mogo, the great big Green Lantern guy, was that story in the Green Lantern anthology. Mogo doesn't really socialize.
Yeah,
right.
That's an Alan Moore story.
Oh, okay.
Because only Alan Moore would have thought of that,
of a planet being a Green Lantern.
Exactly. He wrote some crazy, crazy things. He wrote some other Green Lantern stories that were very interesting. Of course, he also wrote The Killing Joke.
Yes, and this is where Barbara Gordon... Barbara Gordon one. Yeah. Barbara Gordon
opens the door. The Joker standing there in Panama shorts and an Hawaiian shirt, and shoots her. And that's what cripples her and makes her... she eventually becomes Oracle. It's dark and it's twisted.
Yes, it is.
And it's definitely a quality story, though.
Oh, like, it certainly
you know,
is.
The way that these stories affect you on a profound level, like you don't forget, you change, it changes your, you know, the way you think about the world.
Very true. I mean, that was a dark one. It's got an interesting ending to it as well. And Joker gets to tell a fun joke. It also borrowed elements, and this is what they stole this for the Batman movie, the Tim Burton movie. This was, there was this story in Batman comics long, long ago about the Red Hood, in which mm-hmm. you learn that Batman's teaching this college course about forensic work, detective work. Okay. And Batman's greatest unsolved case was this Red Hood thing, and the Red Hood starts coming back. And at the end, we learned, oh my God, it's the Joker. And yes, Batman, this you caused all this. The Killing Joke went back and referenced this and gave the Joker an origin story that may or may not be real.
Right. You can never trust a single word that comes out of the Joker's mouth. So, I mean, even when he you know, he gives an origin story in The Dark Knight, he gives an origin story all the time. There is no
He gave like two or three
origin
of, yeah.
of the Joker.
I mean, because we do get like, you know, we get to sort of a flashback to see it, but a moment later, there's a moment later in the book where he, you know, Joker's talking to Batman. Is like, I remember it so many different ways. So mm-hmm. who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
the Joker himself probably doesn't even know.
Exactly. Nice and twisted. In 1986, Alan Moore started working on Watchmen, which you know my love of Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Dear God, do I love me some Watchmen. And this, of course, was to deconstruct the superhero, because by this point the Cold War, Alan Moore stuff has always been very, very much, very, very political. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry,
about dystopia, about
when did V for Vendetta
freedom.
Come out? Since you've got that up there, because that was probably before any of this too, and I'm just being silly about this.
83.
So yes, it was before that. V for Vendetta. So I need to talk about that before I talk about Watchmen.
You don't have to go in chronological
order. True, but these are the two big, huge political works. V for Vendetta is about the oppression that was the Thatcher administration. Which, it's amazing how timely it can be. Yeah. It works for pretty much any political situation you'd like, in which you have a character who runs around in a Guy Fawkes mask.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
V.
For Vendetta, even. Causing anarchy everywhere he goes because, you know, people...
Remember the 5th of November.
I mean, V, of all the characters, there are two characters, really, that I think personally are Alan Moore just talking. One of them is V.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Rorschach. But
okay.
In right. V, he gets to do all of these, just these soliloquies, just these stories, the things he says. It's dark about how far this Orwellian government and what they do. And the revenge story is just tremendous. I mean, it's just tremendous. I happen to love the movie, but we'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, it's a fantastic, fantastic book. Watchmen is the closest American version.
It takes all of our heroes and it completely just goes, yeah, let's take the shiny silver package off of them and show you what they really are.
And you said it again. You said package.
What?
I swear to God.
You because you used the... Mr. Manhattan, Dr. Manhattan, at the beginning.
Bingo package.
Speaking of package.
And only Neil Gaiman could get away with that. There was, you know, DC releasing a comic that had, you know, blue schlong in a lot of places, because that's the character. It works. It totally works. Alan Moore stuff, crazy and inventive, and wow. Yes. You had to have read it. Alan Moore.
Your take on the movie? Or we want to get to kind of movies in a separate section.
Alan Moore submitted a proposal for a miniseries in like 88 that was called Twilight of the Superheroes. For anyone that ever read Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
This would have been Alan Moore's version of Kingdom Come. There were houses. There was like Superman had a house. There was the House of Lightning. The Marvel family had a house.
Mm-hmm.
Superman and Wonder Woman were Superman's house. They were going to unite
Not the Fortress of Solitude, a different house?
They were going to unite the two houses through marriage. It was this big, epic, you know, godlike.
Yeah,
it was,
like royal houses.
It was actually based on Wagner's Götterdämmerung, which... just crazy.
God bless you.
Twilight of the Gods, for those of you that never took music history or anything.
Yeah.
Who aren't music people. That didn't exactly work. He wrote notes about it. Scripts sort of exist. And apparently, the creators of Kingdom Come, sort of they did look at that before making theirs, but say theirs are totally different. Okay. We'll see. DC Comics wanted to make a lot of money off of stuff Alan Moore did, and Alan Moore doesn't really like to do that.
No.
So they had what we call a falling out, and they didn't really like each other for a while after that. He moved on and went to do some independent stuff there for a while. I read this fantastic story he did when did this come out? Like, I want to say it was around 88 or something. In the issue of Anything Goes 2, there's a story called In Pictopia that Alan Moore wrote. It's about Nocturno the Necromancer. And he's okay. He's wandering around. Pictopia is the name of the place, the city, and there's all these heroes and stuff. But here's the thing. People keep disappearing. Mm. Heroes keep disappearing.
Hmm.
But then they start coming back, and they're different. Hmm. They're not the same. They're meaner. They're
grittier.
You know, yes, if you will. And there's a wonderful. He's got this pal. This you know this other superhero guy he hangs out with who's called Flexible Flynn. And I don't want to hear any. I don't want to hear it. Don't hear it.
Giggity.
There's a wonderful scene in a bar, which again I think as much as I love you, Alex Ross, I think you kind of stole something here because this is the I forget the comic company that has like you know the Phantom and Magic the Magician, those kind of guys.
Oh yeah, a King.
What a King features? I know King did World. The comics, but whatever. Yeah. There's a scene in a bar that has like you know a bunch of those characters just sort of in the background that you sort of see.
Mm-hmm.
Nocturne of the Necromancer, his friend Flexible Flynn disappears. And when he does come back,
mm-hmm.
and it's this crazy thing where he talks about it, and he's like, you know, he looked mean. Even the visor looked more sinister somehow, because dude has like this little visor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this thing about, you know, the rebooting of superheroes and you know, the change in the 80s to the gritty.
Getting darker.
Yeah, kind of thing. And it's a fantastic, amazing story. And it works on, you know, so many levels, because that's what Alan Moore stuff does work on. From Hell is another fantastic comic book the man did. Which would be mid-90s. This is, wow, this is actually after he came back and worked mainstream with Image Comics for a while, which... Yeah,
this was his first movie adaptation. First one.
Better. The less was said about Image Comics, the better. It's not good. From Hell is a Jack the Ripper story. And here's where I'm really just sort of skipping over. You know Alan Moore's work. I don't need to tell you to read Alan Moore. I will say that Alan Moore, once you got to Lost Girls, and he's always wanted to take comics and turn them into something different, something bigger. And this is why he's always been sort of against movies, which we're about to talk about, because his comic books are very cinematic, very film-like in nature, mm-hmm. the way they're set up, the way they're presented.
Yeah.
And he just want, that's the story he's telling, is pushing comics. He wrote Lost Girls, which basically pushed comics to the... To pornography, because it's about a bunch of women sitting around telling each other stories about different romantic encounters they've had.
Ah, romantic encounters.
So yes, and there's it's dark. Alan Moore sometimes comes off a bit misogynistic. Sometimes.
Okay.
If you think Frank Miller I don't know if that's entirely fair. From Hell, and yes, let's get to the movies, because this is the kind of thing that I really want to talk about, because what most people know from Alan Moore for the general population.
Yeah.
From Hell, the fantastic, amazing, crazy, crazy great limited little miniseries comic book, which explores Jack the Ripper, all the murders, what happened, and we know from the very beginning, pretty much, who the killer is. It's turned into a whodunit movie starring Johnny Depp, directed by the Hughes
right.
brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't terrible in and of itself, but it wasn't the same story.
Not at all.
They should have just not called it that.
But they even borrowed elements from it, because there is stuff, you know, about the different monuments, the obelisks and the power that you can get from that. There are elements from the book there, but so much of it
is
gone.
But not enough to make it the same story.
In the book, Inspector Aberline is this married guy in like his mid-40s, and he's Johnny Depp in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, and Johnny Depp apparently sees visions when he chases the dragon. Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's not any kind of...
Heroin reference, no.
I was going to say no kind of gay reference either.
Oh,
but,
really? Oh, okay.
But it's interesting. Ian Holm's in it. Johnny Depp's in it. Robbie Coltrane is in it. Heather Graham has the worst British accent thing.
Of all time, pretty much.
And is the cleanest dirty prostitute that's ever been put to film.
She might as well have the roller skates on still.
You know, pretty much.
Or The Hangover. Why does she always play a hooker?
Because she's really good at
typecasting.
She is a hooker?
I don't know. Maybe.
How much money? Okay,
maybe.
I don't know.
Don't sue the Bruce.
No, don't do that at all. The film is, you know, the film is interesting. It's got its moments.
One day, men will look back and say I gave birth to the 20th century.
But it is not the comic book in any way, shape, or form. And Alan Moore was a little pissed because, well, he was going to be pissed anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to do this right.
There was just no way they were going to do it right.
And there wasn't. Because if you've never read the book, you really need to read the book. The book there's so many actual people from the time that are interrelated and in it. There are so many, because Alan Moore loves literary references, there are so many people in the book that just, you know, we never get to see the Elephant Man in the movie. Well, maybe. I think he's in a little quick shot. Anyway, that doesn't work. The next movie of his they decided to try to do an adaptation of?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Which
is not the movie.
It's fun in some ways, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have seen it, and when you're trying to explain steampunk to them, you can sort of kind of reference League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It
sort
just
of,
wasn't
yeah.
great.
What is that?
There have been other times when a danger upon the world required the services of singular individuals.
The comic book is about a team that is put together of actual literary characters who are real. They're all real.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Quatermain, Mina Harker, they're all real. All of them. And so fables in a way, if you will. Always come back to that. And they're brought together to fight this big epic battle that's going on. Captain Nemo. It's astounding. There's gang riots in the streets of London at the end. In the movie, the end is they're a fortress in Tibet. I don't know exactly what's going on there.
No.
Lots of changes were made, including the addition of Tom Sawyer to the cast, who is not, and Dorian Gray, mm-hmm. who is not in there, and the fact that Mina Harker is actually a vampire now. Okay, sure. This is the famous movie that Sean Connery did because, as he said, they offered him Lord of the Rings. He turned it down because he didn't understand it. They offered him The Matrix, and he turned it down because he didn't understand it. He said he didn't understand this one, but he wasn't going to turn this one down.
Yeah, guess which one you shouldn't have picked.
Come on, I hate getting old.
But that's okay. It's a fun, disposable movie, but it is not the Alan Moore comic book in any way, shape, or form. And then to add insult to injury,
mm-hmm.
some people sued. They sued the studio, saying that what they were seeing was very similar to a script that they had written. And they even went so far as to basically accuse Alan Moore of being given the script by Fox so he could write a comic that they could turn into a movie.
Which has no adaptation.
Right.
Wow, that's really putting a stretch on it there.
Yes, but Fox settled.
Of course, because it's cheaper.
It is, but that pissed Alan Moore off because that kind of makes me look guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You sons of bitches. Is probably exactly what the man said.
Probably.
So then there's like, well, you know what? We've got to try again. We've got to do another Alan Moore adaptation.
Because it's been working so well so far.
But by this time, Alan Moore's like, well, I don't care. My name's not going to be on it.
Yeah, don't put my name.
Don't put my name on anything else you ever do. And then, oh my God, they actually started making good Alan Moore movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made V for Vendetta. Which is really good. Really good.
I have yet to see it, unfortunately.
What?
I don't understand that.
I have not seen it. I've maybe seen half of it, maybe.
Because
it comes on TV.
To you, will you watch it?
No. I'll get it on Netflix. Maybe it's on watch now.
No more lies, only truth.
Really? You're really going to watch it?
Probably.
Okay, probably. I love this movie. I think it's a fantastic adaptation of the comic. There are definitely changes, but this feels like what Alan Moore did. And I hate that he got pissed off and decided to write things off. He wouldn't even watch. He doesn't want to know anything about them at all in any way, shape, or form. I don't care. I don't want to know.
Yeah, it's just... You want to know what's being done with your work. If you agree with it or not, if you want to criticize it, at least know what the heck you're going to be criticizing and just don't hate it for spite the fact that, hey, they made another movie. You know? Especially if it's your work.
I know. It's strange because, I think it's very well done. Hugo Weaving plays V. We never see his face.
Mm-hmm.
That's his voice. That's him behind the mask because he wanted he didn't want to just do the voice. That's his performance as the character. I think that's brave for any actor to do a movie in which you never see their face.
Exactly, because they make money off their faces.
Because people just don't do that, especially in movies where masks are required. Tobey Maguire.
We're looking at you.
Robert Downey Jr.
right?
Sylvester Stallone.
But the movie's it's the Orwellian, story, oppressive government looking down on its people and one person who stands up and is an anarchist and decides to change things. And of course, to get revenge on all the people who now are intertwined with the government. It's a fantastic revenge story. It really is. And I the visuals are crazy and there's some of the greatest lines.
Revolution without dancing is a revolution not worth having.
So... He has so much fun. He has so much fun in that role. So much fun. The impossible happened a few years ago when Zack Snyder said, you know what, I'm making Watchmen. And the entire world went, what?
What
the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Visionary director. Yes. Visionary filmmaker, mm-hmm. Zack Snyder. And for as much as people like to, I don't know why, but take a dump all over this movie, I'm going to stand up for this. Again, yes. This is something else that Alan Moore is like, I don't want my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put my name on it at all. I have no interest in it.
Oh,
but
Alan Smithy himself.
It is a fantastic adaptation,
it's
I believe.
It's an amazing adaptation. This is... The changes that were done in this movie were as natural and as...
Organic.
Organic. Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for. As natural and organic as it could possibly have been. I mean, I like this version of it. The changes that were happening, you know, the one or two changes, the squid and all that, the changes that happened in this movie were better than the comic. I believe this better.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow. Okay. That's a bold statement.
Mm-hmm. Very, very bold statement.
I mean, I liked it. Did I? I went back and read the comics after seeing the
you
movie.
Read the comic. You read the comic actually a couple of years ago before the movie ever came out, before it was ever being made, and then you reread it right before we watched the movie. In fact, you read the last issue when we were standing in line to go sit down.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because I actually brought my bagged and board single
yes,
issue
did.
With me. Because thank you to that comic shop that I've already forgotten the name of back in Wilmington, North Carolina, that ran that Alan Moore half-off sale that time. That was awesome. I bought a bunch of crap of Alan Moore then, because it's a great story. You know, not trusting your government, looking at the dark side of people.
I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
The greatest... I never thought that Rorschach could ever work on screen. I never thought half of the stuff that's on screen in Watchmen could ever
amazing.
Work on screen.
It's so amazing. It really, really is.
People laughed at it. People laughed at a big blue penis on screen.
Well, okay.
And I'm
yeah.
like, okay, you're childish little bitches then. If that's what you're doing, right. If that's oh, look at there. If I'm sorry, you're just a childish, stupid
Wolfman's
person.
Wolfman's got nards.
Well, that saved their life, so that's kind of cool. It kept the dark. It kept I'm shocked about the ending. We didn't get the hippity happity ending.
Yeah, exactly. Which isn't good, you know.
And see, Alan, for the stuff that they have changed, I don't know if you. Well, actually, I think he does. I know there's a segment on YouTube. The clip that you heard coming back from break is from the documentary they did where Alan Moore just rants about different stuff. And mm-hmm. I think he does rant about the Watchmen movie, but I don't remember if he actually saw it or not. So I don't remember what the point of any of that is. Alan Moore, a very strange guy. He's always pretty much, he's had long hair forever. The beard, he's been growing it for as long as he could, I suppose. Tons of rings on his fingers, religion and magic. He's a big anarchist. He politically identifies himself as an anarchist, which I think is
neo-pagan and
yeah.
What else is there?
He was... Some of the stuff he did was collected in the book, 2009 book, Mythmakers and Lawbreakers. he writes about stuff, and it's one of these things, it's almost as how I describe the Joker, especially the Joker's way is from The Dark Knight, mm-hmm. in that if you listen to him, it does make sense.
Yes.
Until that moment where you're like, wait a minute, I think you might be a little crazy. But a lot of it does make sense, and he's a very weird and complicated guy. Who is now back writing, you know, just independent stuff. And I don't know if we're going to see another mainstream stuff, something breakthrough from Alan Moore or not. I don't know. Because he's alienated himself a lot from people.
Yeah. I think if he does something that is absolutely phenomenal, it will become mainstream because everybody, the word will be spread about it. But as far as, you know, him going mainstream,
not going to happen.
Probably not.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
But, you know, I don't think he's done. I think we have more to look forward to. And I don't know. You've kind of renewed my interest because I have really liked what I've read from Alan Moore. But now I'm kind of tempted to go back and look for some more.
He's been a lot of people have said that he's been an influence on their work. Neil Gaiman, Damon Lindelof from Lost. Or Joss Whedon has cited him as an inspiration for some
stuff. You didn't
stuff.
Say when we were playing Arkham City that the Joker referenced Lost.
The Joker does... make fun of the ending of Lost.
Really?
Yes.
How?
Yes,
what's going on? What's the? You thought the ending was going to be one thing. It's not making any sense at all. And why are they all in a church? That was awesome. That was really awesome.
I forget. One of the writers for the game was a writer for Lost. So,
wow.
Because earlier in the game, listening to punks as they're talking as I'm deciding how I'm going to take them all out.
Yeah.
One of them talked about Lost to somebody else.
Okay. That's cool.
So that was kind of cool as well. But that was rather fun. Quite fun. He's married. He's got kids. God only knows what that world's like.
That's got to be some twisted place.
I only know Alan Moore from his writings and some of these rants that I've seen. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine just hanging out with Alan Moore all the time?
No. It's like it'd be better than Gary Busey, but yeah.
Interesting. I'd like to see that. So Vigilante was another work that he did for DC, which was kind of a generic vigilante type of story that he tried to put some twist to. I don't know if they'd ever make that into a movie. I'm trying to think of other Alan Moore things that they could make, because Swamp Thing, the way he wrote it, would make a fantastic series on HBO or a set of movies, and I'd like to see that. But you know, again, he wouldn't put his name on it,
and he'd hate it. He'd never see it, and he'd hate it.
Everything.
Yeah.
But still, you know, we have the CGI, we have the technology to make all of these visionaries' dreams into reality and make them look good and make them look realistic. And, you know, anytime you make anything translated into a movie, there's going to have to be changes. But if you're just not willing to accept any changes at all, then you're going to distance yourself from it.
Okay. Brought to Light is what that clip was from between the break, because that was doing his work in conspiracy theories. It's weird. He's global conspiracy, you know, he believes this conspiracy of a conspiracy kind of thing. What he talked about, he believes this stuff, and who's to say? I don't know. It could be true. I have no idea. I just know the man is dark and twisted, and I love his stuff, but wow, he's a strange guy.
Not for the faint of heart.
Not for the faint of heart at all. But if nothing else, he does want you to question pretty much everything ever. He's got a book coming out called Jerusalem. You don't even want to know what that's about. It's because it's Alan Moore and it's Jerusalem. So there you go. He did write a book about how to write comics, which if you're interested in the Alan Moore way of writing comics.
Yeah. Take everything you know. Put it in a blender. Throw it out.
Get dark. Get grisly. Get psychotic. And have your women all be a little hypersexualized. You know, it works for everyone else, so why not? But he's got there's a great body of work there, and, you know, his comics are like nothing else that anybody's written. And that's why something I can say Sandman about, because maybe that's part of what I'm doing, is Sandman would not have been possible without Alan Moore. Because without him changing what comic books could be, Neil Gaiman couldn't have changed it even further for, you know, what people have today to work with, which is pretty much whatever you want to do. So you should check out his work and check out his movies. Just remember that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a popcorn movie that's not really that good. And From Hell is just a mystery. Ooh, missing the point entirely.
And read the comics.
Read the comics. Above all, pay the man his money and read the comics. And make sure you get into a nice anarchist mood and come join us at the pub crawl this Saturday, November 5th at Sinead, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you can let me know, FlynnStress@GeekRadioDaily.com, if you need more details. Check out the Facebook page, and it's not too late to get a hotel room. Just totally come and show up, and it'll be awesome fun. Yay.
GOD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Make sure you drop us a note at podcast, Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinchers, all at GeekRadioDaily.com, or send a voicemail to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
That's all they get.
There are, of course, those who do not want us.
I'll see you in a sweet, buddy.
Humanity's savage nature will inevitably lead to global annihilation.
This is that, my dear boy. Sweating is what we do.
Below the skin of history are London's veins.
We repeat, the Superman exists, and he is American.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people. While the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and subjecting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.